We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to Conversations with Carla. I'm Jerry Price. I'm joined by head Princeton women's basketball coach Carla Berube. And coach, welcome aboard.
Thanks, Jerry. Glad to be here.
Your season is getting to the fun part. You have the Ivy League tournament that starts on Friday at 4:30, where Princeton will take on Harvard in the first round. The second game is Columbia and Yale. The women's championship game is at 5 o'clock on Saturday. What am I forgetting? It's at Harvard, so if you're in the Boston area, you can go check it out. And speaking of being in the Boston area, your team has stayed up in the Boston area all week. You played Harvard last week on Sunday in the regular season finale, then Harvard again to start the Ivy tournament. And before we get to any of that, congratulations on closing out a 14-0 regular season. I know that your goals extend beyond that, but that's quite an accomplishment. So let's start there. Going 14-0 is not easy to not have an off night. You play good teams. What does it mean to you and your team to know that they were able to do that, keeping in mind what's ahead of you?
Yeah, I think... it was absolutely one of our goals was to win the Ivy League championship regular season, and then another goal to do it undefeated, and yeah, just really proud of the team, and the effort that they put in every single day in practice, and that they show up every game. It doesn't always go perfectly, but they work really, really hard, and the effort is always there. And, you know, we've talked about this, but if the defensive effort is there day in and day out, you're going to be in every game. And they certainly have done that throughout this regular season. And yeah, so check mark, like, that's awesome. Great to do that. And now it's on to this next big challenge, this big goal to win the Ivy League tournament, which I've never coached in, and it's been a while for my team too. So I think there's just a heightened, like, just level of excitement going into this weekend.
Our podcast is brought to you by RWJ Barnabas Health, the official health system of Princeton Athletics. To learn more about services and locations, visit rwjbh.org. Let's be healthy together. Thank you to RWJ Barnabas Health, the official health system of Princeton Athletics. So let's go back to the idea that your team played Harvard last week, and now you have to play them again. You went into that game knowing that you were going to have to play them again a second time, and that The first game was, it was for the 14-0 season, but the seeds had already been clinched, and you'd already clinched an outright Ivy League championship. Did you approach that game like any other game? Did they approach that game like any other game? Is there any takeaway from that that carries over to this week?
100%. It was a game like every other game. We got prepped and prepared for the game like any other game. It was a quick turnaround from our Penn game on Friday night at home, drove up on Saturday morning to Harvard in an early matinee game. So it was a tight turnaround, but we certainly prepped the same way we do for every game. It was just the next game on our schedule. And I do believe Harvard, I thought they played well. We saw some different things from them, and but I'm sure that all four of these teams have some things in their back pocket for the Ivy League tournament. So we just need to, get ourselves prepared for whatever is thrown at us this weekend.
With all your experience at Tufts, have you ever been in a situation like that before, where you went into your last regular season game against the team that you were going to, that you already knew you were going to play in the next game, in the first game of the tournament?
Yeah, I don't remember. It could have happened, but I don't remember it happening like back-to-back games. I'm excited. I mean, like, it's great. Just being back in Boston and playing in Levitis, I've spent a lot of time in this gym, and excited to be on that sideline again with Kathy, the last time with Kathy. So just looking forward to the game on Friday.
So that goes into my next question, which is, what sort of emotional lift do you think Harvard will have, knowing that if they lose, that's it for their coach after 40 years?
I'm guessing they're going to have a lot of emotions. I'm guessing they're going to play at their very best, the highest level they could play. And we're expecting that. I think everybody at this point of the season, right, it's a lot, for most it's, survive and advance. And if you don't win, your season's over. So you're leaving it all out there, and maybe, even more, for Harvard on Friday, it being, could be, Kathy's final game.
So let's get into the specifics of the Ivy League tournament. You have a lot of experience coaching in tournaments at Tufts. This is your first Ivy League tournament. Before we get into how the Ivy League works, what was the NESCAC tournament like? How many teams made it? What was the format? What was the spacing between games?
Yeah, we'd have a quarterfinal game like first weekend on a Saturday. And then the top four teams that advance would play the top seed the next Saturday, and then those winners would play the next day on Sunday.
So you have experience then with quick turnaround.
Very similar, right? It's back-to-back days.
What was your number one thing that you learned from preparing your teams to play in that kind of tournament situation? And do you think that applies to the Ivy League tournament?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the way the Ivy League has been, it's the way the NESCAC is, right? The back-to-back games. Except now you're getting ready for, two possible teams on that next day, rather than, just one on your normal regular season back-to-back. So your week looks a little bit different, that you are, we're trying to prepare for Yale and Columbia, but also Harvard, which, we don't have to spend too much time on Harvard, because we feel like we know them pretty well, but just making sure that we are ready, that, not thinking about those three teams so much, but are we ready to play the way we are capable of playing and the best basketball of the season, right? We want to be at our very best on Friday to have a chance to win the championship on Saturday.
What if anything does it mean to you to see your team break into the national top 25, understanding that ranking doesn't impact things like NCAA seedings or stuff like that?
Yeah, but I think that
is a, it's a nice thing to have.
Right. I think that's what it is. It's a really nice thing to have. It's, Just recognizing that we've put together a really great year. When the team found out yesterday, they're really pumped about it, which they should be. They've put a lot of hard work into this. So it's great. It's great to get this national recognition. It is awesome for the Ivy League. And it's great to, that throughout the season, we just kept building. And now, finally get that, that recognition, the top 25.
You decided to keep your team up in Boston for the week. What went into that decision and what have you guys been doing? And for people who are wondering about missed class time, it's obviously spring break. So obviously if it were classes, you would not have even considered doing this.
Right.
But what went into that decision? And
that was the big thing. It's like, we're not in class. Does it make sense to have, two more 5-hour bus trips? You're kind of cooped up in a bus, right? Just be able to be here and also just be together. We really haven't had a good road trip together. And so I think this time spending together can only make us stronger on the court, off the court. And I think that's what's happening right now. And we've done a few things so far. The team went into the Boston Common and walked around the city a little bit, went to Chinatown to have some food. We also went into Harvard Square on Sunday evening after the game. They also have JPs to write and their thesis and other work to be done. So it's a good balance of both. And we were able to practice at Bentley University, and we're going to Tufts too to practice. So showing the team our old stomping grounds. And I think the biggest part is just being, the ability to just spend more time together.
Do you want to do the read or do you want me to do the read?
Oh, I got it, Jerry. I got it. Now is the best time to plan your windows, doors, or siding project. Give Lawrenceville Home Improvement a call at 609-882-6709 for your free estimate on the highest quality products with superior installation practices. So when it's time to improve your home's appearance and energy efficiency, remember Lawrenceville Home Improvement, windows, doors, and siding. Find them on the web or visit their showroom today.
Oh, that's your best effort yet. That was very good.
That was the one I had last week, right?
That's the same one that you stumbled on a couple of times.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was flawless right there. That was a good effort. So our player joining us this week is Julia Cunningham. Let's talk a little bit about Julia. And specifically, she's a kid who scored more than 1,700 points in high school. Obviously, she's an offensive-oriented player who you have now integrated into your defensive oriented system, and obviously she's still a great offensive player, but how hard is that for a player to sort of go from so focused on offense to having to buy into what you do defensively?
Julia's great. She was certainly not one of, and she'll tell you this herself, not one of our strongest defenders our first year. And I think she knew that she needed to get better. And I think she worked on her.
I can tell you that even though people are listening to this podcast in the order in which it's presented as, we speak with you and then we speak with the player, I've actually already spoken to Julia and she has actually already said that.
we sort of joke about it because, now she's like our best, and our best perimeter defenders and has the assignment to defend our opponent's, best shooting guard or sometimes best driver and whatever we need. She got laterally quicker. She's always a smart basketball player. So I think she understood what needed to be done. And I think just learning the system and how we teach just the team defense aspect of it. And but she's got quickness, she's got length, she's got just the IQ and she is able to communicate and she's smart and all those things. So it was just, I think it was just time, right? It's just, getting through that first year and really understanding it. And then, you know, she came back this season and, you know, in the fall, and we were like, wow, this is a new, you know, new Julia Cunningham on the defensive end. And this is going to make us a lot better. And so happy that, you know, she put the work in, and she puts the work in every single day in, you know, in practice.
And she's obviously still a great offensive player as well. So she hasn't had to sacrifice that side of the court. You know, you have a lot of players like this, but she's one of the players that when she shoots the ball, you're more surprised when it doesn't go in than when it does go in, which I think is it's a pretty good quality to have in your players.
Yeah, no, 100%. When she's shooting the ball, I do picture it going in every time. So yeah, and I think that her offensive game has grown so much too. I think, like a lot of my players, like Julia put a lot of time during her gap year and working on her game and just getting in the gym and getting reps and, you know, working on that shot, working on her moves. She's finishing so much better at the rim. She has really crafty finishes. Sometimes it's much easier for her to make some really hard reverse layup with a spin than it is for her to just like take a normal, you know, like right-handed layup. But she just has such a, just a great arsenal of finishes and moves and, yeah, really, really happy to see what, you know, what she's been able to accomplish this season for us.
I'll ask you one more Julia Cunningham question. Can you correctly guess or name the musical instrument she played up until middle school, through middle school?
I feel like so many of my players played instruments.
Did you?
Yeah.
What did
I
you
did.
Play?
I played the trumpet.
Okay, so she was close, but not the trumpet. Yeah. That's your hint. It was close, but not the trumpet.
Trombone.
French horn.
Oh, French horn. Very close. I don't even know if I knew that. Go, Julia.
Were you That's a great. Good trumpet player?
I
played the trumpet 1 year, my senior year of high school. I decided I wanted to, all my friends were in the band. I wanted to try to be in the band on it. I wanted to learn the easiest instrument, and they gave me a trumpet, which I liked because it was also loud. So
yeah, I was okay. I ended up quitting my sophomore year just because basketball was just getting in the way. But my brother was a very good trumpet player. He played in the Crazy Stanford band. You know, that does crazy things out on that football field. So he was more of the instrumental music person in our family.
I actually have a recording still to this day of my trumpet solo from jazz band in 1981. So I'll have to play that for you at some point.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Next conversations with Carla, let's break that out.
If I could figure out how to make that happen, I'll do that. Okay. In the meantime, good luck. It's Friday, 4:30 tip off against Harvard. Second game is Columbia, the second seed against Yale, the third seed. Championship game is 5 o'clock on Saturday. The men is Princeton Cornell at 11, followed by Penn Yale on Saturday. And then the championship game, I believe, for the men is noon on Sunday. All of those games in Lavides Pavilion at Harvard University. So if you're in the Boston area, then make sure you get out there and support the Tigers and go see the Ivy League tournament. And we will be back next week to talk to you about how that went and to look ahead to the NCAA tournament, which you're knocking on wood. I'm thinking win or lose Ivy League tournament, you're a good bet to be in. But even if you're not, we'll talk about whatever the postseason is for your team. Carla, good luck this weekend.
All right. Thanks so much, Jerry.
That was Princeton head women's basketball coach Carla Berube. We'll step aside for a few moments. Joined by Princeton player Julia Cunningham.
And we're back with breaking news. Coke Zero Sugar might be the best Coke ever.
That's right, Jim. Coke Zero Sugar is a must-try for any Coke fan, so make sure you... Jim. Jim. We're on the air.
Ooh, yes, this tastes like the best Coke ever to me. Your thoughts, Jen?
Well, can I have a sip?
Jen, we're in the middle of reporting the news.
I need to try it first.
An orthopedic surgeon can replace a damaged joint, but they can't replace time. That's why you need a surgeon who's close to home. At Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital Hamilton, we have the specialized care you need to get moving again. We've taken every precaution, so don't delay. Do it right. Here. Visit rwjbh.org/ortho. Robert Wood Johnson University Hospital Hamilton and RWJ Barnabas Health Facility. Let's be healthy. Together.
Back here on Conversations with Carla, I'm Jerry Price. I am joined by Princeton's Julia Cunningham. Julia, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Well, glad to have you here as the season has entered its most exciting part. First, let's congratulate you on your 14-0 run through the Ivy League. That's two straight 14-0 seasons, all of those games by double figures. That is not easy to do. So first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
And second of all, what do you attribute this to, this incredible run where your team has not had an off night? It's you've never come out completely flat. You've never come out and gotten away from you. That happens to every team, no matter how good they are in every level. And your team has somehow managed to avoid that. Let's talk a little bit about why that is the case.
Yeah, I think two things with the Ivy League is that are really important is preparation and experience. And I think we have the experience now, and with this coaching staff, we're always going to come into games really prepared. So even if we come in and have an off shooting night, you know, we're a team that relies heavily on our defense. So that's something that we can bring with us, whether we're playing at home or an away game, whether we're having a great shooting night or a poor shooting night. And I think those things are just very important. And that kind of prevents us from having a game where, you know, it's a flop or some things aren't going right. You know, we can still fall back on our defense and we can still fall back on our preparedness for the game. And those are things that can't really fail you. So that's what we focus on. And that's what I think is probably most attributable to the two 14-0 regular seasons.
So understanding that you have your biggest days ahead of you, are you able as a team and you as an individual to take a step back and sort of appreciate what you've done here, or are your goals just starting at this point, really?
Yeah, we have big goals. And I think our team and our coaching staff, we're trying to balance that right now of taking a step back and looking at things in perspective and being like, wow, we have this great accomplishment. But we're still going and the season's not over. You know, this is the start of our second season, this postseason play. And so we're trying to balance the two of, you know, basking in this perfect regular season and back-to-back perfect regular seasons, and then still being able to focus, you know, on the days in front of us. And, you know, the next couple weeks are the most important part of the season. And that's what we worked so hard for. So we're definitely looking forward, but also taking a little time to appreciate what we've already done.
What does it mean to you to see your team break into the national rankings?
It's awesome. I think 2 years ago, we were in there a little earlier, probably by like Christmas time. And this year we cut it close getting in there the last week. I think that they end up doing the rankings, but obviously it's really cool. It's a huge accomplishment to be in that AP poll. And I think kind of puts the nation on notice, and it's great timing right before NCAA tournament time, right before, you know, seeding and things like that. So we were all really excited yesterday when we found out we were going to be in there. And again, I think it just puts even more of a chip on our shoulder, right? You know, we have the target on our backs going into the Ivy League tournament, and this just kind of amps up the stakes. So it's exciting. Yeah, it was a really good feeling yesterday when we saw that.
What's it been like to stay up in the Boston area between the game Sunday and the Ivy tournament, which doesn't start till Friday?
Yeah, so we're here for the whole week. Obviously, we're still practicing. We practiced at Bentley, where one of our assistants played, and then we're going to be up at Tufts for the next 2 days practicing, where, again, obviously Coach Berube was there for almost 20 years, and one of our assistants also played there. So, you know, a lot of home ties for them, which is exciting. They're kind of showing us the ropes around here. We have a lot of free time, so we've been exploring a little bit too, just kind of, you know, walking around the city, getting food, things like that. So it's our spring break from Princeton classes, so we have a little bit of time to ourselves. So it's been a fun experience. I think overall, staying in the hotel kind of gets us into that game mode, tournament mode, which is also helpful. So I think we're all really, really locked in for this weekend.
Have you been able to take a step away from basketball?
Yeah. Yeah. So we walked around the city, you know, two nights ago, and we've had some team dinners, things like that. We're definitely taking our time away from basketball, but with a big weekend coming up, and you know, we have these days kind of off from schoolwork, from classes, you know, we'll get our practices in, get in what we need to work on for Harvard on Friday for that first game.
What's it like for you to play the team? What was that game like on Sunday, I guess, for you as a player, knowing that other than the perfect season that was on the line, this is the team that you're playing again in 6 days or 5 days or whatever it actually is. And, you know, so, and it basically didn't mean anything in terms of seedings and standings or anything like that. What was it like to play in a game like that?
Yeah, I give Harvard a lot of credit because, you know, they had made the tournament already at that point, right? They clinched that four seed. But they came out ready to play and they gave us all they had and they were really, really aggressive with us. And I think it wasn't our best showing of the season. So having another chance in less than a week to play that same team is a good opportunity for us to work on ourselves, to work on our growth as a team. It gives us a good opportunity to look at film and make adjustments. And then it's interesting because we played them first game of the season and then last game of the regular season. So we saw two different teams. They saw two different teams. And now we get to play them for this third time. I think it's going to be a good battle. We know what we need to work on as a team. And that's what we're doing this week in practice. But yeah, I give them a lot of credit. They came out really tough on Sunday and we'll be ready for them again on Friday, I think.
What was your introduction to basketball? Were you 3 years old, 4 years old, or came to
I actually room? Started later. I probably started fifth grade rec basketball, I would say. I didn't really play any sports up until like middle school. And my parents were like, okay, we gotta get you into something. Like, what are we gonna do? And at that point I was already pretty above average in the height category. So they were like, why don't we try basketball? So we went to the rec league and I think I ended up scoring like all the points for my team in this first rec league in like fourth grade. So that was my introduction. And ever since then, it's, you know, the rest is history.
Did you play any other sports?
Yeah, I played softball growing up for all the way through middle school. I stopped right before high school.
What was your position?
I was pitcher and first base.
What was it about basketball that appealed to you the most? Just that you had success at it immediately? Or?
Yeah, definitely that. I mean, as a kid, that's always a big draw. But I think the pace for me was the biggest thing. Softball, especially in the younger grades, was a little bit slow. And, you know, sometimes the dads have to come out and pitch for you. And you're sitting in the field like, okay, this is a little boring. But basketball is like nonstop, like running, cardio, you know, you're always moving offense, defense. So that was my favorite part of it. Was definitely the pace.
You were a 1700 plus point scorer in high school. What was your defense like in high school? And what was the thing you had to learn the most, under Coach Berube's system?
Yeah, I don't know if she would have recruited me out of high school. I think my defense was pretty poor. But in high school, you know, obviously, like, athleticism makes up for a lot of things. And so our high school team, obviously, public school, big school, we did really well in our league. But I would say my focus in high school is definitely offense. And I think that's why I got recruited in the first place. But it's been quite the learning curve, especially under Coach Berube. She obviously has such a strong focus on defense. And I think even just from 2 years ago, which was, you know, my first season playing under her, I think I've improved a lot defensively, which I can definitely attribute to her. but it's been good. It's kind of exciting to learn the other side of the ball a little bit, I think. Offensively was like my focus for a lot of my life, and learning kind of the defensive principles that make you successful has been a fun experience.
What about your future plans once you graduate? You have another year, but after that, what are your future plans?
Yeah, so I have taken all my science prerequisites. I want to go to PA school after I graduate. I would love to play overseas if there's an opportunity for that. But yeah, right now kind of focusing on finishing those science courses at Princeton and then applying to a PA program after I graduate.
physician's assistant?
Yeah.
But not medical school?
No, I haven't completely crossed it off, but I'm definitely leaning towards PA.
And then lastly, what's something about you that, you know, people who watch you play might not know about you, an interest or something really cool that you've done or anything? Ever jump out of a plane?
No, I have not done that.
Can you play a musical instrument?
I played the French horn all the way through middle school, which I think is pretty unique.
That's just gave that up.
Yeah, I didn't
not
think
easy it instrument.
Would fit in with the schedule in high school.
That's not an easy instrument.
No, it was actually really hard. One of my friends that was like a year older than me played it, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. And then I got to middle school and I was like, this is actually like a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. But I stuck with it for like 4 years. My mom had to like buy a French horn, which she wasn't very happy about. And then I ended up giving it up before high school.
Well, we'd like to thank you for taking some time to be with us here. Wish you luck this weekend in the Ivy League tournament. It'll be Princeton against Harvard. That game tips off at, if I'm correct, 4:30 on Friday from Lavides Pavilion. The championship game will be Saturday at 5:00. It's Columbia and Yale in the other semifinal. Julia Cunningham has been with us here on the podcast. Thank you for being with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
For Princeton head women's basketball coach Carla Berube and for Julia Cunningham, I'm Jerry Price. Thank you for being with us this week on the Conversations with Carla, and thank you for your continued support of Princeton women's basketball.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.